Hi, friends. How's it going?
Good.
So I know that we put in a plug for retreat, but I just want to say it's absolutely one of my favorite weekends of the entire academic year. I always love it. I have a great time. It feels good to get off campus and away from our day-to-day lives and just connect with people and have space for connecting with God. So if you're on the fence, I would encourage you. You won't regret it if you give it a shot. So all the info will be out in the lobby after we're done here tonight. My favorite thing about life with God is that he uses us to bless others, right? It's really fun. It's actually built into the very foundation of what it means to be God's people. So back in the Old Testament, in the beginning, when God was forming a covenant, a partnership with Abraham, he said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. And we see this theme throughout really the story of God and God's people in the scriptural narrative, that we are meant to be recipients of God's goodness and we're meant to be conduits, channels of God's goodness to other people. And when someone asks Jesus at one point what the most important things in life are, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we see this throughout the entire scriptural narrative. It's like God wants to reach everybody, and he's entirely capable of doing it himself, but he chooses to use us to reach other people. So another thing I love about God is that sometimes life with God gets a little bit weird. I actually really loved our worship set and getting pushed a little bit outside of our comfort zones. I think that's perfect for tonight. As I was reading through some other narratives in the Gospel of John, unfortunately we're not going to be able to cover all of them in this series, there's some really interesting stories in there. At one point, Jesus is talking to his followers about spiritual sustenance, and he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Okay? Well, if you're standing in front of somebody that says that, you're going to be a little bit like, ah, I don't know. I don't know if I signed up for that. Which we, of course, we understand it more later. And then there's a great account of when Jesus encounters a man born blind, and he asks him if he wants to be healed, and he's like, yeah, that sounds great. And so Jesus, he spits in the dirt, makes mud out of it, and puts the spit mud in his eyes, right? I'm just thinking, if you're that guy, you have to be like, what's happening? I don't know if I like it. But he goes and he washes and then he can see, so it's amazing. And I don't know if you've experienced this in your walk with God, but I have, this phenomena that life with Jesus can be a little bit weird. Sometimes I think it can look like unconventional decision making. At one point in my life, I actually had signed up for grad school and I dropped out and I gave back my scholarships and I moved out of my apartment and I quit my job and I decided to live out of a backpack for a year and just try to serve people. And I'm not saying that one of those avenues is better than the other. Sometimes grad school is the unconventional decision. But sometimes there seems to be a way in life that makes sense, and then there seems to be maybe another way, and sometimes, you know, we see God kind of nudge us and lead us in this other way. So life can be a little bit weird with Jesus. Sometimes it's a little more direct. So we here at The Well believe that God communicates. We believe that it's in his very nature to be a communicating God, a two-way communication, relational God. And we're actually going to spend a lot of time talking about that. The series after this one is going to be, we're going to spend a few weeks just talking about what does it mean that God speaks to us and how can we know it's God. So if this is something that interests you, stay tuned for that. But we believe that he speaks to us, and sometimes he speaks to us through people, and sometimes he speaks to other people through us. So if you've ever felt like, I think this person needs some encouragement, and I just want to tell them that, you know, I see them and I care about them, or it's going to be okay, take a deep breath, sometimes, or something specific, this is on my heart, and I just want to speak into that. You know, that's one of the ways that God can use us. And we do that here through prayer. We just love any kind of prayer, but we really try to do this kind of prayer here where we listen for something from God for you and bless you with something kind of specific. So when I was kind of first getting used to this kind of prayer, this listening prayer or I'm trying to hear from God for someone, I was practicing with a group of friends. And so we were all just practicing listening to God. And so we get in a big circle and we put one of our poor, sweet friends in the middle. And we're like, we're just going to sit here and be awkward and quiet and listen to see if God wants to say something. And if we get anything that comes to mind, a word, a phrase, a quote from a movie, a scripture verse, a worship song, a picture, we're just going to offer it to you, and then you can decide. You know, you can say, you know, that means something to me. Or you can say, thank you for the effort, but that doesn't actually mean anything. So the whole idea was for us to be practicing. And so we start listening. We get all quiet. And I could sense that my friend Eric next to me was really uncomfortable. Like, he had something he wanted to say, but he was just not going to do it. So I kind of nudged him, because I'm like, this is what we're doing here. It's okay. It's kind of like when you're brainstorming and there's no bad ideas. You just got to throw it all out there. Well, he takes a deep breath, and he just goes, hot dog. Yeah, no kidding. And I was like, oh, I know that I said to say it, but I don't know about that one. So, of course, like, we're like, I don't know, maybe, like, she has this thing with God about hot dogs. I don't, but she was like, oh, no, thank you. And we all just tried to be like, good job. But we got to practice. We got to practice learning God's voice. It's okay. Another time, this is a secondhand story. So this has happened to a friend of my friend's. But when my friend was telling it to me, he said, okay, so my friend was at a conference, and it was a Christian conference, so there was a worship session. And during the worship session, he was sitting next to this guy, and God said, I want you just to move a little bit closer to him. And, you know, the guy's actually kind of, he's just a big, burly guy, and he's kind of putting off the vibes of, like, I like personal space. If I don't know you, I don't really want to talk to you. Like, that's the vibe that's going on. So he goes back and forth, and again, it's just, like, sitting on him. So he's like, okay, all right, I'm doing it. And you could sense the guy's like, dude, what's going on? What are you doing? The next thing that his friend hears, that he thinks he hears from the Lord, not kidding, nibble his earlobe. Yeah, right? That's when you're like, I'm going to need that, like, I need an angel to appear and tell me if that is something that God wants me to do. But no kidding, he like it takes him like 30 minutes because he's like, I will not. I am not doing that. He's going to punch me in the face. But he does it, right? Because he's like, I just feel like God wants me to. No kidding. Big burly man breaks down and sobs. And he's like, I just threw up like one of those testing God things where I was like, I want this guy to get so close to me he can nibble my ear, to know that you're real. I'm not kidding. To know that you're real and to know that you see me and you care about me or whatever. So it was like the sign that he was asking God, right? And then God's like, okay, who's my servant in this one? We gotta work this out. Yeah. Ever since I heard that story, I'm like, Jesus, I will do anything for you, but please. Please don't put me in that situation. But it's all good. They ended up being friends, right? This is a great story of like someone kind of coming back to God. So it's awesome. All that to say, God wants to use us, and sometimes being a conduit of his love means stepping outside of our comfort zones. Yeah. So let's look at our passage for this week. We have been looking in the Gospel of John and at Jesus and some of his interactions with individuals. And tonight, we're actually looking at Jesus' interaction with a lot of people. We're in John chapter 6. Feel free to turn there, or it will be up on the screen. Starting at the very beginning. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. Okay, so I mentioned the story earlier about how Jesus heals the man born blind. There are some things that you'll really start to see come out when you're reading about Jesus' life, really in any four of the gospel accounts of talking about Jesus. He spends a lot of time teaching and challenging and helping people think differently and see things differently. He talks a lot about the kingdom of God and what that means. And he does a lot of restoring people to wholeness, be that healing them physically, casting out demons, providing for them, raising people from the dead, even. He just brings the kingdom and manifests it in full force in some of these moments. So he performed miracles to demonstrate that he was God and to show people what the kingdom of God was like, where everything is put to right and made whole. So these things, that's what it was like to kind of be around Jesus. Verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Okay, so the passage tells us later that the large crowd is actually 5,000 men, not counting women and children, so probably twice that number. We're probably looking at 10,000 people or so. And what an interesting question in that situation to say, where are we going to buy bread for all of these people? And what does it mean that Jesus was testing Philip? Is he trying to trick him? Does he want him to kind of like get this answer wrong? Well, I think it seems more consistent with Jesus' character that he's trying to determine where Philip is in his understanding of who Jesus is. So, and leave it to Jesus, right, to teach someone and lead someone to truth through a well-placed question. So, here in the Office of Christian Ministry, we do something called spiritual direction. It's kind of like mentoring, only a little bit more one-sided. So basically, someone sits in a room with you and they just kind of ask you question after question about your life until you are kind of discovering for yourself where God is working and things. So it's great. Some students, who shall remain nameless, who meet with Jason Barnhart, who's our executive director, have started referring to him as a Jedi because he apparently can like get to the core of like what someone is really kind of dealing with God. So they're like, how do you do that? But let me tell you a secret. He's just copying Jesus. He's saying, let me just give you a well-timed, well-placed question. So here we are. Jesus is asking Philip, where shall we buy bread? Which may actually be the question, what do you think is possible in this situation? Who do you say that I am? So let's think about this for a second. You're on a hillside with 10,000 hangry people, right? My good friends and people who travel with me know this, and now I'm just going to share it with all of you. We're all friends here, right? So if I get really hungry, I won't realize it, but I'll start going, hungry, 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 hungry. No kidding. Yeah, sometimes our friends are like, do you know you're doing that? Like, we're going to get you a cheeseburger or something because you're just, yeah. So, it's true. 10,000 people, they're hungry, if you can picture it. There's probably a little bit of disorder. People are saying, how am I going to feed my kids? We're in the middle of nowhere because we're trying to figure out who you are. It's just kind of, like, chaotic. So, if Jesus says, what are we going to do about this? What would you say, right? Verse 7, Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. It makes sense, right? You're looking out and you're like, we can't buy food for 10,000 people. Like, we don't have that much money. I don't even know where we would go to get that much food for these people. There's not a solution within my understanding. So what do we see here? The human tendency to limit God to what we think is possible. We limit God to what we think is possible. Verse 8. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He says, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? This is good. Andy's pitching in. He's like, I have an idea. I don't really know. I just came across this child, and he's got a couple little loaves of bread and a couple fish. And, you know, it's something. But you can almost see the other disciples being like, oh, yeah, good job, Andy. That's going to make it through, like, 10 people. What are you going to do with the other, like, 9,000-plus people? But Jesus says, verse 10, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Okay? So just imagine what it would be like to be the disciples. I don't actually know, like, is he just holding bread or is it in a basket or something? But can you imagine that he gives it out to like 10 people and the disciples are like, well, we're done. Like, that's what we've got. But he just keeps going and then he keeps going. And maybe he's saying, you guys come help me. Like, and he hands them bread and they keep going and it just kind of materializes out of nowhere. They just keep having enough. Verse 12, when they all had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets, that's how many disciples there were at the time with Jesus as well, with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Jesus changes everything. He is not confined to what we think is possible. I've actually seen the miracle of food multiplication. To be honest with you, I actually just missed it, is what happened. Let me tell you the story. So I did a mission trip called the World Race, and we went to lots of different countries just to serve wherever was needed. And so when we were in Costa Rica, we were working in a neighborhood that was impoverished. And so we went around and we just kind of made friends with people. And then one evening, a woman that we had met in this like township area found us at our base. And she had her 3 little kids with her. And she said, my abusive husband just came, took everything out of our house and left. And I have nothing. I have no job. I have no family here. I don't really have any friends. And I have no money and I have nothing. And I have kids and we're hungry. And so we, of course, said, okay, come on in. At the time, at our base, because it was a weekend, we didn't have a lot of food on hand, we only had, at our entire base, 2, like, small plates of beans and rice and, like, maybe 2 or 3 pieces of fried banana. It was actually leftovers from the day before. So it was probably enough for, like, 2 to 3 adults to eat. And so, of course, we said, we're going to go grocery shopping. And you stay, you guys eat this while we're gone, have a seat, get comfortable. We set the table so it was family style. There were 7 people on my team and 5 people stayed. So it's 5 adults, the mother and her 3 kids. And so we said, they're going to eat, we're going to go grocery shopping and come back, and then we'll cook a big meal to try to comfort this family. I go grocery shopping. Why? So I go to the store, and I come back, and everybody is just, like, so excited and so joyful and just kind of through the roof. And I'm like, what's going on? And also, why didn't you eat any food? Because there were plates of food there. And my dear friends said to me, we all ate, all of us, like 5 adults, the mother and the 3 kids. Some people had seconds. This is what's left, and it was 2 plates of rice and beans and then fried bananas with it, so enough for us that went grocery shopping. And yeah, and they were all like, we weren't paying attention. It's not like you would scoop something out and watch, you know, because it just kind of happened. There was just enough for everyone. So throughout my time in missions, I've seen a woman who was in crippling pain where she couldn't stand upright after prayer, not have pain, and she actually started dancing. I saw a man who was deaf in one ear begin to hear out of it. I saw an addict who was drunk immediately become sober. And I personally experienced the miracle of immediate forgiveness, which might not sound as flashy as some other miracles, but let me tell you, pretty significant. So Jesus uses us to bless other people in big and small ways. And in big and small ways, he can do impossible things. This is the truth of God. This doesn't always mean that God works according to our plan and timeline or answer our prayers exactly the way we expect him to. So that's the caveat, right? He is God. His ways are different than ours. But I am willing to bet that for most of us here tonight, when it comes to thinking about the impact that we can have on other people through God's power, we think too small. We think of ourselves too small. Or even thinking of the power of God through us is too small. So God wants to use you to bless people in powerful ways, and that's just exciting news for us, right? Because it's so fun. It's so great to, like, bless someone. or help them connect with God and say, okay, I actually, God used me to do something really good there. And here's the good news for all of us who don't feel ready. It's not about having it all together, right? This is what we've learned from Nicodemus and from the woman at the well. It's really just about willingness. So, it's not that God wants to use you eventually, sometime in the future, when you feel prepared. He wants to use us right now. So we here at the Well believe in this thing called the priesthood of all believers. And basically the idea behind that is that Jesus empowers us with his spirit to be representatives of God on this earth, kind of. And we all have that kind of ability to mediate between people and God and help people connect to God is something that's offered to all of us. One person says it this way: everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to be a part of what God is doing around us, which is really exciting. I read a book when I was in high school, and it was one of those that like really formed the way that I think about everything now. So it's called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And one of the main principles in that Bible study was, if you're looking for your calling, it's this. Find where God is working around you and jump in, you know? We do believe in like a sense of like personal giftedness and uniqueness that everybody brings to the table and certain strengths and passions, and that's good, and there is something to explore as far as calling. But I think we can have a lot of peace when we say, just as Jesus followers in general, our calling is to participate with God in what he's doing. And sometimes we have clarity on what that looks like, and sometimes we don't. But if we can just jump in with what would Jesus do in this situation? How can I, like, embody love and truth and life in this situation? Things will start to clarify themselves. So, that's my encouragement for us tonight, to just jump into where we think God is working around us and embodying Jesus, and know that everything else will kind of clarify itself. And expect for God to use you in ways that are bigger than what you're planning or what you think he's going to do. It's going to be bigger than that. Even if we see the results right away or don't, just know that like he really wants to use us in powerful ways. So I have just a couple reflection questions for us to be kind of kicking around during the rest of our worship time tonight. I'm going to go ahead and have the band come back up. And let's think about two things together. The first is to think about a time when God has used you to bless somebody else and give thanks for that opportunity. And if you can't think of a time, just take a few moments of quiet and ask God to help you remember a person or a situation where he used you to really bless someone. And just say thanks. It's the best thing to be used by God, you know? It's an honor and a privilege for us, and it's fun. It's a real, I think, abundant life for us. So be thinking about that. That's kind of the first thing. Where has God used you to bless someone and give thanks for that opportunity? And the other thing that we can do together is just offer our bread and our fish, you know? I guarantee that little boy didn't know that Jesus was going to use him to provide for 10,000 plus people. He just said, this is what I've got, and you're welcome to it, you know? So even if we don't exactly know what it's going to look like, just having that willingness together to say, yeah, God, I want you to use me to bless people, I guarantee he's going to run with that in really exciting ways. So those are our things to think about tonight. We'll also have prayer available. I just think sometimes it's really encouraging to hear from God for ourselves. So if there's something that's on your mind, if there's a burden that you're carrying, feel free to come up and have someone pray for you. Or if you're like, things are okay and I just want to receive a blessing from the Lord, we're happy to listen. We'll do that listening thing. You might get hot dog. We cannot make promises about that. I don't know. but whatever we get, we'll offer to you. Maybe it'll be something from the Lord. So feel free to please come up and receive prayer if you'd like to do that as well. Let me pray for us, and then we'll reflect and we'll worship God together. Yeah, God, we just confess that sometimes we think of you too small, and because of that, we think of your ability to work through us as small, when in reality, you are a mighty God. You're the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things, and you are working to put all things to rights in the world. And we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to participate in that. And we offer to you what we have. And we know that you'll meet us where we are and use us. So we thank you, God, for who you are. We celebrate the times that you have used us. And we just surrender to you what you're doing in us and around us. In Jesus' name, amen.